Senate committee to meet Thursday to consider the nomination of three FCC commissioners. The FCC wants to go all in when it comes to quoting cable costs. And the Media Bureau cuts a break to a repeat offender of untimely renewal filings. All that and more coming up.
REC, FCC Today, Michi Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for June 20, 2023. On Thursday, June 22nd, the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation will convene a nomination hearing for the Federal Communications Commission. Ana Gomez has been nominated by President Biden to fill the long vacant commissioner slot for the majority. Gomez brings many years of experience to the table, including stints at the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, as well as being a member of the United States delegation to the World Radio Conference. Gomez is expected to carry a lot less controversy than previous nominee Gigi Sohn, who was attacked by Republicans as well as Democrat Joe Manchin because of previous statements she made regarding law enforcement. In addition to Gomez, the president has renominated Jeffrey Starks for the majority and Brendan Carr for the minority for additional five-year terms. The Senate committee will also consider the nomination of Farrah Damlin to be the new FCC Inspector General. The hearing will start at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and will be carried live. We have more information about how to view the hearing at recnet.com. The FCC has released a notice of proposed rulemaking in MB Docket 23-203. The proposal would require cable and satellite television providers to provide all-in pricing when quoting rates for cable programming services. The current practice in the multi-channel video program distribution industry is to quote a rate for programming services, but those rates do not always include various other fees. For example, providers may tack on a broadcast TV fee, which covers fees paid to television broadcast stations by the cable or satellite provider as part of a retransmission consent agreement in exchange for carriage of the programming, usually from the highest rated stations and television networks. TV stations can also elect to be considered as must carry, where upon reaching certain requirements would require cable and satellite providers to carry the station in their channel lineups. Providers may also add on a regional sports fee, which is paid to the providers of regional sports networks, which have the rights to provide home team professional sports coverage to viewers in the territory for that team. Cable and satellite subscribers normally cannot opt out of this monthly fee. The broadcast and regional sports fees can vary by market and have been sharply going up over time. For example, the Philadelphia Inquirer reports that in 2014, cable subscribers in the Philadelphia area were paying an average of $48 per year in broadcast and regional sports fees, in addition to their regular cable rates. In 2023, those charges are up to over $415 per year. The ever-rising rates charged by cable and satellite providers is one of the many reasons why many consumers are cutting the cord and receiving over-the-air television through the use of an antenna and then supplementing cable programming through services like Sling and Philo, which do not carry any local channels or regional sports networks. In 2019, Congress passed the Television Viewer Protection Act, which amended the Communications Act. The revised Section 642 of the Act calls for greater transparency in consumer bills. Congress expressed specific concern that customers face unexpected and confusing fees when purchasing video programming, such as the broadcast fee. Specifically, the FCC is proposing that cable and satellite providers aggregate the cost of video programming service, including the broadcast and regional sports fees, into a prominent single-line item on subscribers' bills and promotional materials if they wish to advertise a price in those promotional materials. The FCC's goal in this rulemaking is to provide consumers the actual costs for video programming for which they are or would be responsible for in clear terms, thus allowing consumers to make informed choices, including the ability to comparison shop between competing providers. Comments and reply comments in MB Docket 23-203 will be announced at a later time after publication in the Federal Register. Just a reminder, if you're listening to this on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, please remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification dinger to be reminded of future content. Thank you again for your support. On July 13th, the FCC and the National Science Foundation will hold a panel discussion on the opportunities and challenges of artificial intelligence and communications networks and consumers. The first panel will be AI's dramatic impact on communications networks and technologies, moderated by Dr. Martin Dokzak, chief of the Electromagnetic Compatibility Division at the FCC's Office of Engineering Technology, and will include representatives from Intel, Ericsson, Public Knowledge, Candle Labs, as well as professors from Ohio State and Northwestern University. The second panel, titled AI as a Tool and Challenge for Consumer Empowerment, will be moderated by Arpan Sura, Senior Counsel in the Wireless Telecommunications Bureau, and will include panelists from the National Institute of Science and Technology, TNS, McKinsey & Company, and the National Urban League. The panel will be held on July 13, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and will be available for live viewing at the FCC at fcc.gov/live. On July 12 and 13, FCC staff will be going on the road and holding a tribal workshop in Ferndale, Washington. The workshop, hosted by the Lummi Nation, will feature staff presentations on a broad range of FCC initiatives that support the development of communications infrastructures and services in tribal communities, such as broadband data collection, the Affordable Connectivity Program, and the Universal Fund Schools and Libraries Program. Representatives of tribal governments, social service agencies, schools, and libraries are encouraged to apply. Send an email with the subject line of July Workshop to tribalevents@fcc.gov. Include your name and title and tribal affiliation. FCC Today. The FCC's universal licensing system remains unavailable for what the commission is calling maintenance upgrades to ensure optimal performance, reliability, and security. Systems have been down since June 9th. Impacted by this outage is the ability for volunteer examiner coordinators in the amateur radio service to send the FCC notifications of new and upgraded amateur radio licenses, as well as requests for club station licenses. These are sent by the VECs into ULS using electronic batch filing, or EBF. According to the ARRL VEC manager Maria Soma, AB1 FM, as soon as the FCC corrects the EBF system problem, the ARRL VEC will immediately file the backlog through the automated system. For new hams, this is causing delay from the time when a test is taken to the time when they can actually go on the air with their call signs. Since the implementation of EBF, as well as the abilities for some VECs to automatically transmit data from test sites to the VEC headquarters, it has resulted in speeding up the amount of time a new ham has to wait to get their new call sign. For existing hams who are upgrading in a test session, they will have temporary authority to use their upgraded privileges through a certificate of successful completion and will have to sign temporary until their license applications can be processed in ULS. On Friday, the FCC announced a consent decree with Good Christian Broadcasting Incorporated, licensee of WLIH, Whitneyville, Pennsylvania. In 2014, the licensee did not file their renewal application until 3 days prior to the license expiration. Normally, renewals are filed 4 months prior to the expiration. As a result, the station was assessed a $1,500 notice of apparent liability, which was never paid. Fast forward to the most recent renewal cycle, and once again, the station missed the renewal deadline. The FCC even sent a reminder to the station that they could file up to 30 days after the deadline to avoid a forfeiture. The licensee failed to file a renewal, and the station license expired on August 1, 2022. On November 2, 2022, the FCC issued a public notice advising that the license was canceled effective immediately. On November 16, 2022, the licensee filed for a special temporary authority to operate the station, stating that the licensee intended to file a petition for reconsideration of the license cancellation. The petition for reconsideration and renewal application were filed on December 5th, 2022. The renewal application also disclosed that the station did not comply with the FCC's public file rules. The Media Bureau and the licensee reached a consent decree in which Good Christian Broadcasting would admit to violating Section 73.3526 of the rules for public file violations, Section 73.3529 of the rules for failing to file a timely renewal application, and Section 301 of the Communications Act for unauthorized operation. Good Christian Broadcasting will also pay a $3,000 civil penalty and will be subject to a compliance plan for the next 3 years to ensure compliance with the public file rules.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, has been a production of REC Networks. Always on at recnet.com. The podcast is available through Podbean, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, and on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification dinger to be informed of new episodes. Keep up to the minute with events around the Media Bureau at fcc.today. If you need assistance with an FM broadcast facility, LPFM, full service, or translator, call 202-621-2355. I'm Michelle Bradley, KU3N, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Thanks for listening.
REC.